time we spoke about Truma Gdoila, how a Yid in biblical times had to take 2%, approximately 1/40, 1/50, 1/60, and give it to the Kohen. We then spoke about Truma Samaiser, how then we're going to be giving, even the Levi is going to be taking the percentage that he's going to be getting, and he's going to be giving that to the Kohen. And we spoke about the tafkid, the purpose of the Kohen and the purpose of the Levi amidst the Jewish people, how they're the teachers, they're the spiritual role models. The Kohen is as the role model, maybe the Levi as the more practical teacher that you interact with on a more day-to-day. The Rosh Yeshiva versus, you know, the guy learning in the Kollel all day who inspires you, that's like the Kohen, versus the Levi who's teaching the Cheder. V'chule v'chule. That was last week's class, Ayin Sham, in the recording, if you missed it. Today, we're going to still be in the theoretical. We're not like halacha l'maisa yet. We're talking, in particular, about Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni, i.e., the money that we're giving to the Levites, and then the money that we're going to be bringing up to Eretz Yisrael, v'chule. That's today's mission, okay? So let's go. So the Torah tells us that a Yid...
It's going to be late for me, but it's probably on time for you.
The Torah tells us that a Yid is supposed to take, after you give your 2%, you're still supposed to give 10% of your produce, of your olives and your tomatoes to the Levite. They make a pretty good deal. They're going to end up getting about 9% because they're going to give a little bit to the Kohen. But every Levite is getting 9% of your produce. Pretty good. Not bad to be a Levite. Remember, the Levites didn't have their own land, and they were generally needed to be free to be teaching. So they're getting 9%. Okay? Pretty good. Now, there's an opinion.
How do you get 9%?
Again, because 9%? It's 10%, right? But then they're giving 10% of their... Of their 10% to the Kohen. You get it? So it ends up that the Levi is going to get 9%, and the Kohen is going to get approximately 3%. Okay? 8.8%, something like that. Depends if it was 1/40th or 1/60th. Okay? So it's better to be a Levi than a Kohen. Sorry, Kohens. Interesting historical note that Rav Melamed talks about. In the Second Temple era, during the time of Ezra, Ezra went out and asked that the Levim would come up to Eretz Yisrael, and a very small percentage of Levim came to Eretz Yisrael for that Aliyah. They got stuck in Babylon and whatnot with all the riches. But now the Kohanim had a higher percentage than the Levim, even though there's more Levim, but there was a higher percentage of Kohanim who came up. So Ezra punished the Kohanim, and he gave the money that was supposed to go to the Levim to the Kohanim. He gave a knas, and he had the power to take the money and said, you know what, we're going to give that money that was going to go to the Levim, we're going to give it to the Kohanim. However, this is just an interesting historical note because the Shulchan Aruch rules that decree has been nullified during the second Beit HaMikdash. That is no longer, we go back to the original law of the Levim getting their 9%, but that is just an interesting, very interesting historical note. Okay, so the Levite is going to get 9% of your produce. Biblically, according to many poskim, it would be wine and your oil and your dagon and your wheat. But rabbinically, it's any produce that is chayiv in these matters. Okay, so any produce of the land. All right, so that's the first step. Now, after we've done what we just described, which is Meiser Rishon, the first tithe, remember, Truma is Kohen, Meiser is for Levium. Then we have something that is called Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is the most complicated of the Meisers because it depends on the year. Okay, and we said last week, how do you remember it? Through the Hatikva, Odlo Avda Tikvatenu. Right, so what does that mean? Avda. Aleph and Bet, we're going to give. that extra, the money, we're going to take that another approximate, another 6% is the cheshbon, 9% of the original. It ends up being, if you do the math, that the Dini Halacha goes through approximately 6% of your produce, and you have got to go up to Yerushalayim. Well, we're going to see, it didn't say explicitly Yerushalayim, but we know that we would end up going to Yerushalayim during the Beis HaMikdash times, and bringing that to Yerushalayim, and eating and drinking that fruit, that's during the first year, the second year, and the fourth year, and the fifth year, that's during the Avda. Okay? You got to take that fruit, it's holy fruit, you got to come to the Makkah, to the area of the Mikdash, to Yerushalayim, and you've got to eat it there.
First, second, and the fourth.
Fourth and the fifth. Avda. Aleph, Bet, Dalet, Hey. Got it? Let's look at it in the Pasuk, so you'll know I'm not just making this up. 14th chapter, the third year and the sixth year, as we'll talk about, goes to the Ani. Okay? Asher tasher et kol tvuot zarecha yoteh tadesh anashna. Tithe your food. V'achal talaf na'av Hashem alakecha. And eat it before the Lord. B'makom asher yivchar l'shachen shmo sham. In the place which I will choose to place my shechina there. Now, I said it's Yerushalayim. Of course, it wasn't always Yerushalayim. There was a time in Jewish history when it was, for example, where else was it? For a time period. In Shiloh. You can go up to Shiloh and go to the Mishkan there and imagine people drinking wine and having great. It's a great place. It's a great place. So there was a time it wasn't Yerushalayim, but eventually it did indeed become Yerushalayim. L'shachen shmosham maser d'ganecha v'tiroshcha v'yitarecha. Your wine, your oil, and your wheat. V'chorat b'karecha, and the first of your meat, v'tonecha, and your sheep. L'man tilmad lirat Hashem elokecha kol yamim. That way, you, when you're going all the way from Naharia to Yerushalayim, and you're going to learn to fear the Lord all of your days. You're going to be so inspired by that Aliyat Arega when you went up to Yerushalayim and you had that fruit during that first, second, fourth, and fifth year. You're going to learn to fear the Lord Almighty. Now, on a practical level, why is it, besides just the spiritual hashra of being in Yerushalayim, why is it that you're going to learn to fear the Lord Almighty? There's a practical level here. Because who are you going to end up sharing your food with? You're going to end up having a lot of extra food, if you were a big farmer, because you have a ton of produce. You're talking a giant percentage of your food, and you have to eat it. But you can't eat it. You're just one family. So what are you going to do? The Torah tells us. You're going to invite the Levites, who are generally poor, and you're going to invite the Kohanim, and you're going to eat with them. And then and then you're going to be very, you're going to sing songs and say Divrei Torah. It's going to be a gevalt. You're going to be inspired by the Levites and the Kohanim, and you are going to leave a changed man. They're going to have a positive influence on you, and you're going to have a positive influence on them, and everyone's going to have a big spiritual party together.
Sell the produce and then bring the money to Jerusalem.
Oh, very good. Now, Banish has alluded to the fact that there's another option which the Torah gives you, because that's a lot of fruit to schlep. You're a watermelon farmer. You know, up in Nahariya, it's not easy. It's not so pushing. So the Torah gives you an out. Torah tells you in Vayikra, Chol Masar Aretz Mizer Aretz Mipreyeth Lashem Hu Kodesh Lashem. It's holy. Im Gal Yigal Ish Mimashar. If you redeem it, Chamishata Yosef Alav. You must add a fifth. In other words, there's an option to be pode your fruits. If you don't want to schlep it, you can redeem it. You sell your fruits. You sell it onto money. You have to add a fifth onto it in terms of the money. And then you go to Yerushalayim, and then you buy with that holy money produce to eat and drink and have your meal with. Okay, so you can be pode it, and you have to be adding chamishit onto the pidyon there. Okay?
There is something you cannot buy with that.
Sorry?
There is something, two things that you cannot buy with that money in Yerushalayim.
What can you not buy?
Fish and water.
Fish and water. Okay, no fish and water, but other holy things you can drink. I don't know. I'm not sure what the source is for that, but I'm going to trust you on that one. I trust you. I really do. I'm sure it's coming from our good friend Yitzchak. It must be coming from a holy place. Okay, so I told you that you're going to share with the ger, with the lady. This is from Dvarim 14:28-29. And Levi's going to come. He doesn't have a portion. You're going to give it to the ger and the yatom, v'almana, and the widower. We're going to eat, and you're going to be satisfied. And then God's going to bless you in all of your ways in which you will do. So that was the whole idea of this Meiser Sheni. You're going to be elevated by going to Yerushalayim, and you're going to give shefa to all the poor people, to all the Levites, and they're also going to have a positive influence on you. That was the beauty of Yerushalayim. Obviously, for us Yerushalmim, especially here, you know, when we get to have sudas together and sing and dance and have all sorts of people, and we have a positive impact upon each other, and sometimes you have some crazy people at the meal. It's like our way of kind of bringing that biblical idea into practice. It's mamish amazing that we can fulfill a zecher to that mitzvah lemaisa in our days whenever we have a gebaldik suda here in Yerushalayim. Okay, so that's Meiser Sheni again. Avda Alpet Dalid Hey. All right, let's talk to the few minutes we have left a little bit about Meiser Ani. On the third and sixth year, you don't have to go to Yerushalayim. You get a pass. Instead, what do you do with that extra produce? That extra, the next tithe, the next 10%, which ends up after all the tithe being like 6%. You give it to poor people. You have to give it to poor people. And Rav Melamed asked, so what about during the first and second and the fourth and fifth year? How are the poor people going to survive? So Rav Melamed suggests, there are other gifts we give to poor people, right? What are the other biblical gifts that poor people are going to get? They're going to get the corners of your fields, peah. They're going to get leket. They're going to get shicha. That's kind of what they're surviving off of. So this is like a bonus. This way, it's like when you get a bonus, you're more excited about it. It's not just, you don't come to expect it. And also, Rav Melamed suggests, hey, maybe they'll get a job. They won't become dependent because it's only once every 3 years that they're getting this bonus party to eat and drink, but they won't become dependent on it. So it's coming for, that's at least a practical explanation, perhaps, of this mitzvah. Rav Melamed also suggests that there's a deep connection between the fact that some years we go to Yerushalayim, which just seems like a very holy thing. Go to Yerushalayim, you drink, and you're going to the... Generally, when would, I forgot to mention, this is important, when would people be fulfilling the mitzvah of Meiser Sheni most of the time? During what time periods? During the festivals, during Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, because anyway we have a mitzvah of Aliyat HaRegel, so you're most likely going to be coming up during those festivals, and then you're going to be having a big party. So it was a very happy and joyous and holy experience that people were having, and you might think, wow, that's holy, but giving a schlepper here in Akko some fruits, that's not so holy. No, it's just as holy. Just as holy to give some schlepper some fruits as is the whole experience of going to Yerushalayim. So it's equating that idea of going to Yerushalayim to giving tzedakah to the poor person during the third and sixth year.
12 months of the third year, you give to the poor every day?
Oh, that's a good question. How often do we have to give this Meiser?
Only the four festivals?
Right, so we'll get back to that. So in our next thing we're going to talk about, Vidui Meisrus, which reminds us that there was a particular end date when you had to get rid of your Meiser Sheni. And besides for that, there was an earlier time period, which we'll learn about next week, for the Trumas and Meisers, okay? Which is even, the end date for the Vidui Meisers, I'll give it away already, so I won't leave you hanging, is at the end of the fourth year and the end of the seventh year, by Pesach at the end of the fourth and the end of the seventh year. It's, the way we get there is because it goes after the last, when items are planted and when there is a chanata, and the chanata only begins after Tu B'Shvat, and the end of that time period is at Pesach. It's a bit complicated, but basically at the end of the fourth and the end of the seventh year would be the last time period possible to remove, to fulfill your Meiser Sheni, okay?
What's a chanata? What's a chanata?
We'll also get more about it. Chanata is, what's a good way to translate it? Like, I think when the fruit is blossoming, and maybe, I'm not 100% sure, but I think maybe edible, or the process of edibility might
season,
begin.
Sort of.
I'll double check.
In season?
Yeah.
Sort of like in season, you could say?
Something like that. I need to get back to you with the exact definition of when is chanata. Okay? Okay, so we mentioned Vidoy Maestros. Vidoy Maestros is also mentioned in the Torah, in that same parak in Dvarim, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe, let me just find it. 1 second. I think it's in the source sheet. Yeah. No, actually it's in Dvarim Chav Vav. In a different parsh, not Dvarim Yabez. It goes like this. Ki techal al asher et kol maser tfuad echa tfuad. When you finish your meiser, v'ashana shlishi shnaz the meiser, in the third year, in the meiser year, amar dvnei Hashem lakecha, b'yarti ha-kodesh min ha-bayit, I finished removing the kodesh from the bayis. V'ikam natati lager, levi lager, liyatom lamana, and I gave it to the poor people. And Levi, by the way, I think you can choose what Levi to give it to, but it's ideal to give it to a Talmud, a Torah scholar, and to someone who's needy. Lo achalti ba'oni mimene, lo barti mimene batama. I didn't eat it in impure state. I didn't eat it when I was in a state of oni, of mourning. Lo natati mimene lemet. I didn't give it to dead people. Shemati b'kol Hashem v'chule. Tashkifu mimam kachecha. Look down from your holy place. Uvarech etam chai Yisrael, and bless your nation, Israel. And this is what we call Vidui Maestros, the confession of the Maestros. Asked many of the Mefarshim, including Rav Soloveitchik, why do we call this Vidui Maestros? It seems like you're doing something positive. I'm bragging in a way, so why is it Vidui? I'm saying, Vidui sounds like a confession. So apparently there are times when Vidui has there's a positive Vidui. Vidoy actually means introspection and reflection. Sometimes it's a negative introspection, but sometimes it's looking back and saying, wow, I did the right thing. And I think Rav Soloveitchik writes that as much as it's important to do introspection about what we did wrong, it's also important every once in a while to reflect about all the good things that we did and be proud of ourselves for all the mitzvahs that we did. Okay? Now, you can only do this Vidoy Maestros if you've actually removed all your... given all your mises to the poor people, and whatnot. Okay? Am I forgetting anything? So happy that we learned Torah together, and you should all be blessed with a beautiful week, and I can't wait till next Tuesday night, Bezrat Hashem, to continue learning the laws of Trumas and Maestros, and have yourself a wonderful day full of Simcha. Misha,